Super Bowl champion David Deal welcoming you to Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com. As always, the number is 201-939-4513. On Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. Got a whole lot to talk about.
Well, first, happy birthday.
Thank you, my brother.
Happy birthday, my man.
Appreciate it.
You know, we won't say the age, but it's a number that I absolutely love that is dear in my heart.
Yes, I thought so. I thought so. In fact, my wife said to me, happy birthday, David. I says, no. It's Russ. It's Russ. But having said that, and I do appreciate it.
Absolutely.
We, you know, before we get into the unfortunate current state of affairs, some of you Giant fans out there, we know there are a lot of you probably haven't seen, never saw him play. Maybe you don't know a whole lot about him, but we lost a great Giant yesterday in Y.A. Tittle. That picture of him on his knees is the most, maybe the, arguably the most iconic picture of in a football in all of football history on his knees with the blood dripping down and the bald head. But he came over to the Giants late in his career, and all he did was lead them to three championship games. Y.A. Tittle passing, leaving us yesterday at the age of 90. And listen, I'm going to date myself.
It's all right.
I grew up on that, and that was one of my all-time favorite interviews of my entire career, and I've been very, very fortunate. I had the chance to interview Y.A. along with his fellow Giant Hall of Famer, Frank Gifford, together.
It's good company.
At one time. And believe me, when I'm doing that, you know, this is what I do for a living, and I don't apologize for loving what I do. But when you get to do that, and I'm sure you'll go through it too as your career in this business grows, but getting to do with two guys you grew up watching who were heroes way back when, that's really special. And now they're both gone. So part of me, you know, was a little lost yesterday. Call it my childhood or whatever. But Y.A. Tittle, Y.A. Tittle and Frank Gifford together.
Well, in that regard, I had that feeling a couple years ago when I got to sit down and interview Jim Brown. I'm like, people are like, we've never seen you. I'm like, that's Jim Brown. This is Jim Brown we're talking about. And, you know, for me as a kid, just NFL film, seeing him run over and truck people, I mean, it made you feel like a kid again. And you know, Y.A. and Frank Gifford, you know, the Giants organization, you know, once a Giant, always a Giant. Those guys are always around. And, you know, the story that I think about of Y.A. Tittle, if Giants fans can remember, there used to be the indoor bubble next to Giants Stadium for pregame and postgame. You know, our family and our friends would all go in there before the game. And I'll never forget talking to my brother after the game and him saying to me, I saw one of the coolest things happen today. I'm like, well, what was that? And he goes, so sitting at a big round table, and he goes, sitting there with Y.A. Tittle's across with his wife, and everybody's sitting there talking, and Y.A., he goes, he gets up to go get a water, and he's walking back, and little kid's throwing a football in the indoor. One comes rolling by him, and said, Y.A. Tittle sets down his bottle of water, and he starts playing catch and throwing to all the kids in the bubble.
And Y.A. at that time, it's got to be in his
80s. Oh, he's in his 80s. Yeah, right. And people are like, oh, my goodness. I hear my brother overhears some people walking around or at the table like, oh, my goodness, look at that older gentleman over there throwing the football with the kids. How awesome is that? And my brother's like, you guys realize that's Y.A. Tittle over there doing it. They're like, wait, what? My brother's like, that's Y.A. Tittle. The faces, he's like, the faces of all these people are like, no way. My brother's like, go look. And everybody, here he is, Y.A. Tittle in his 80s, just throwing the football, having fun, playing catch with kids.
What I remembered about Y.A. when I was a kid, when he was playing, was in his 30s, he looked 80.
Oh, yeah.
you know,
didn't have a lot of hair.
No, you know, at that time, it wasn't the cool shaved whole thing. That was like, you know, with the round.
Oh, yeah.
But, boy, I mean, 36 touchdowns in 1 year, throwing to Del Schaffner and what. But so we lost. We certainly did lose a great one in Y.A. Tittle yesterday. So certainly let Y.A. rest in peace. A truly, listen, a Hall of Famer and a, you know, as the Mara family always says, once you're a Giant, you're always a Giant.
Correct.
But that brings us to the current state of affairs with the Giants. And David, I have been in a lot of locker rooms over my 30-plus years in this business, and I will tell you, I've been through seventh games of championship series, losses and everything else, not because of the 0-5, but because of everything, the injuries. That Giants locker room was the saddest locker room I was ever in for a post game, ever. I thought about it, bar none. That was just, it was terrible.
It was. I mean, to lose another fourth quarter lead the way that they did, the penalties, and we talked about the technique and fundamentals, whether it's blocking assignments, whether it's running routes, whether it's missed tackles on the defensive side of the ball, all of those things showed up in the fourth quarter at key times in the game that the Chargers were able to capitalize on it. And, you know, when you sit there and watch the game and you still see some of the things, whether it's, like I said, when it's stunt pickup for the offensive line, they're still struggling to block and pick up TE, tight tackle, and twist by the fronts on third down. And it's continuing to plague not only this offense but this team, because right when you think that they're going to get that momentum, right when you think they turn the corner, they once again do something to put themselves back in negative situations and in negative plays. Nothing that the Chargers did, what they themselves do. And when you watch film as a staff and as a player, that's the toughest thing, because those are the things that you can control.
All right, so, Dave, let me ask you. You were a player.
Yep.
You're at 0-5. And not only are you 0-5, but your whole receiving core has disappeared. You're all pros. You're paid to do a job.
Yes.
My take is, so go ahead and do it. I mean, you got to give your maximum effort. You got to go out and do it. But as a player, when you're going through an 0-5 of what just happened, what is going through the player's mind? What do you think in that locker room, that Giants locker room right now?
I mean, usually you say in hockey, down by four, start a war. And it's now in football, down by five. You need to come out swinging, and you need to prove not only to everybody out there, but more so to this organization and to yourself that you can handle adversity. Listen, everybody remembers winning two Super Bowls. They forget the teams I were on that were 4-12, 8-8, 7-9. Those are the ones that mold you into a better football player, and those are the ones that mold your football team into what you want them to be. Granted, if anybody in August sat here and said this team would be 0-5, you'd say that they were absolutely crazy. But what did Bill Parcells say? He always said, a team is judged by one thing, wins and losses. And
you
can't deny
your
it. You are what your record says it is. So right now, sitting at 0-5, the only way, which we'll continue to say, to change perception is the way that they come out and fight and stick together, not only this week, but for the rest of this season. Because if there is one break in the link of the chain, it's going to cause a disruption for everybody. So the leadership of this football team, from the coaches to the players, need to shine out, and they need to learn from these last games and adapt and adjust moving forward. Obviously, a situation, something I've never been in, nor have I ever seen. I've been in games where there have been more than one injuries that were significant, but not at the same position with the same thing. I've never
and ankles.
I've never seen anything like it. And each one of them was different. You can't blame cleats. You can't do any of that stuff. So you can't do any of that. But this is the first time I've ever witnessed anything like that. And for this team, especially offensively, they're going to have to find ways to simplify, but more important, find ways to be effective on first and second down. Evan Engram, the fact that he only had one target in the first half, that was something that needed to change when you had all your star players, and is something that you're going to need to change moving forward because of the one-on-one matchups that he creates against the linebackers or safeties. You have to feed him the ball. You have to get it into his hands, even if you force it, because once you saw that Odell offensively started getting things going, now you're starting to cut the defense. You're starting to scare them. And what are you trying to do to a defense? You want to scar them. The minute that there's blood in the water, you want to attack and you want to go after them so that you're dictating the tempo of a football game and not the other way around. And if you don't take advantage of those situations where you can be the aggressor, then all of a sudden they're not scared. They're not respecting the run. They're playing the run on the way to the quarterback. And those big hits are the ones that start to scar your quarterback, Eli Manning, not the other way around.
Well, you know, there are a couple of sayings, not just applying to not for football, but to life in general. And I'm sure many of our callers and viewers, and I'm sure you've heard it, two things. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And the other one is, if you're religious, God doesn't give you what you can't handle. Those are all going to be applied to the Giants right now.
True character comes out in adversity.
They're all going to be tested.
Yep.
Each and everybody throughout this entire building, from the top to the very bottom, everybody gets tested now. Again, the phone line is 201-939-4513. Twitter handle is hashtag Giants Chat. Let's open up the lines by going to Pennsylvania and check in with Bob. Bob, how you doing today? You're on with Russ and Dave.
How you doing, guys? You two were on when I called a couple weeks ago. I'll try and be a little calmer today.
Thanks, Bob. We appreciate it.
I had a safe trip to Florida to see the third loss of the fourth loss of the season. But overall, I just want to start off, I guess, by saying I don't remember too much about Y.A. Tittle, but I do have in my man cave here a signed picture of him with that picture of him on his knees with the blood flowing down his face. There's a little bit before, I guess I watched Y.A. play a little bit, but I don't remember too much about it. But,
well, Bob, if you have a signed picture of that, that is a darn good picture to have signed, I have to
Such
tell you.
Such an iconic picture.
Well, that is.
I've collected things since the late 60s. I've not gotten rid of anything, so it's getting a little crowded here, but I keep everything Giants. I guess this year is so surreal where, as a Mets fan, with the expectations of both teams, it's like there's probably, I go back to the 60s, loving the Mets, and this is my worst season while following the Mets based on what they were supposed to do. And this is, I go back season tickets in 73, going through all those brutal years, but this is the worst year as a Giants fan based on what the expectations were.
You know, Bob? No, let me just get to cut you off a second, and then you get to your point. But you just brought something up that, for whatever reason, I haven't even thought about, and you're 1,000% correct. In this city alone, what's just happened to the Giants, maybe it didn't happen all in one game, but that's what happened to the Mets.
Yep.
The injuries, everything. You're 1,000% correct to have two teams absolutely.
Yeah, my teams.
Huh?
Didn't think it was going to happen again with the football team.
You're right.
I know you're probably going to get mad at me again like you did 2 weeks ago, but I got to just say.
Go ahead.
I moved here to Western Pennsylvania, originally from North Jersey, but this will be like the second time in my lifetime that I have to say, I hope Mr. Maurer is listening, I hope he listens, that I really feel that the only other time I rooted against the team, I wanted to make sure that he was out, was when Ray Hanley was the coach. And based on that they could get a top five pick, either lose that game to San Francisco or a top three pick, and the fact that 2-14 should do it, where you get rid of, I mean, this guy is from Western Pennsylvania. He's from Homer City, McAdoo, and nobody was rooting for him more than me. He's not that far from where I live, that city. And he just has lost the team. You could tell that he's not genuine. He called out Eli and never stood up to what Beckham did. Now that he lost Beckham, his offense is going to be exposed because it's inept. It's not a good offense. I don't care what he was supposed to be. It's just not there.
Well, Bob, listen, buddy, you're entitled to your opinion. Thank you very much for the call. But when you say, look, when you're 0-5, we can point fingers at every which way. But let me give you an example. You're talking about the offense right now, okay? You're talking about the offense. Certainly there have been holes in the offense.
Yep.
How about the defense for the last three
games. The last three games. The reason the Giants lost each one of the last three games is because, and the defense guys are going to tell you that they would have to admit it, because the defense couldn't make a stop when they needed to make a stop.
And they could have, but it came down to, once again, fundamentals. Think about how many missed tackles there were in the fourth quarter where it should have been either a no gain or a 1 yard gain, that those were starting to go to 5, 6, 11, 5. They were going back and forth, and it was all based upon fundamentals and getting after it. The drive that we talked about where they went down and they converted, the 3rd and 15, the 3rd and 9, 11. All those. The first two, Steve Spagnuolo had dialed up the right blitzes, but the hesitation and delay out of the players changed the timing of it. They didn't get home. And once again, Phillip Rivers was able to capitalize. We knew in this game with Ovi out that they would have to do more things with pressure in order to get after him. But the problem is with the pressure that they were doing it with, some of the times they were showing their hand too early. So the quarterback, all of a sudden, you start seeing the feet in. You're not holding that blitz. Phillip Rivers has played a hell of a lot of football and can start picking up and teeing on those things, regardless of whether he sees it or not, just based upon his football IQ. So even when they did have the things dialed up, the split hesitation or the lack of fundamentals are what really keep creeping up on this team.
Listen, to me, you can go with blame across the board.
Everybody has their fingerprint.
I have no problem on that. But when you're going to talk about the offense being exposed, I'm telling you, you guys and gals watched everything that we watched for the last 3 weeks. And for the last 3 weeks, the defense couldn't make a stop when it needed to make a stop. And had they done that, this team would be 3-2 instead of 0-5. Because the last three games, that's what it was about.
And even with the receivers hurt, Eli still found a way to get downfield and get Roger Lewis a touchdown.
Yeah, so it is what it is, and it's not pleasant, that's for sure. 201-939-4513. Let's go to
Coffee Bridge Talk. Let's talk.
Let's go to Bridgewater and check in with Nick. Nick, how are you, my friend?
Hey, Russ. Hey, Dave. How you guys doing?
How you doing,
What's up, Nick?
Pretty good, pretty good. So I got two things I want to get off my chest based on the headlines I've been seeing lately. The first one is, for all these people saying we need to trade Eli, they're absolutely nuts. He's the backbone of this team, and I'm 35, so I don't know if a lot of fans know this. It took us a long time before we found our franchise quarterback from Phil Simms. I don't want to go through that again for the next couple of years.
Eli's about to start his 205th straight game. Look around the NFL. Look at other NFL rosters and the quarterbacks that they've had throughout that time. We just saw the Bears last night, their 30th quarterback.
30th.
Like, I mean, what are we talking about here? Every time that somebody comes up, Eli's lost it. Have you seen the throws that he made with people draped all over him, with people at his legs in any of these games? Do you think there's another quarterback that would be able to sit here, handle the New York media, handle the pressure, and still play and do everything that he's doing to help this football team try to win games? If I heard the amount of times that people say, Eli's old, or, he can't do it, if I got a dollar for each one of those, I'd be Matthew Stafford. Because, this is one of the most criticized quarterbacks, yet he is out there every single Sunday. And every single Sunday, we watch other teams roll out quarterbacks that don't have an ounce of the experience or talent that Eli has.
Nick, listen, obviously we're preaching to the choir talking to you about Eli, but, and I've said this many times before, Eli's exterior might be like Opie Taylor of Mayberry, but his insides and his makeup is as tough as nails.
He's a fighter. I
don't buy that. But anyway, your other
go ahead. Next one.
Nick?
All right. My second point is, if anybody, go back to my first point, is complaining about Eli's play, and Dave, I know you said this a couple of times, I personally did not want McAdoo from the time he started as the coordinator. Did not like his play calling. I didn't like his style because I just didn't think it matched up with Eli. And to this day, it's proving. Even last year, we went 11-5. we couldn't put up on the points on the board, and I'm just not a fan of McAdoo.
Nick, were you complaining?
Nick,
were you complaining in 2015 when this same offense scored over 30 points in 7 games?
I was.
Come on. You're done, Nick. Nick, come on, man. Let's be realistic here. You have an offense that's in the top 10 two straight years, and you have the success that he's had, and then now you're sitting there saying going back in 15 when they're scoring over 30 points a game, like that you were mad about it?
Nick, come on. You got to
be realistic here, man.
How many times did he throw the ball and we didn't have a run game?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying in that year when they were winning games and they were doing that, were you complaining about this offense?
Yeah, Eli was piling up yards. I mean, come on. That's Nick, God bless you. Thank you for the call, but that doesn't make sense. Everything you said up until that point was fine.
That's like I said, and that's the thing. Obviously, within the last 2 years, the way that the last season ended and now this season where we're sitting at, of course you're going to draw questions about the offense, the production, the ability to run the ball. I understand that, and that is wholeheartedly accepted. There's no reason why I couldn't, because what you see on film isn't changing your perception of that. But to go back and say in 2015 when they're winning all those games and putting 30 points on the board and doing all this stuff that you weren't a supporter of it, come on, man. You got to be realistic here.
201-939-4513 is the number on Twitter. It is hashtag Giants Chat. Let's stay kind of a little more local, go out to Queens and speak with our friend Travis. Travis, how you doing today?
Hey, fellas, how you guys doing?
Good.
What's up, Travis?
Good, ain't nothing. As people was calling in and just fans in general, we always want to point the finger at a player, at the coach. So my question is, where do you supposed to point a finger, or where do you say, look, this is the problem, so on and so forth?
I'm just going to say this from a guy who's in the media. The biggest, when a team is 0-5, I think each player, it's incumbent upon each player to look in their respective mirrors and point the blame at themselves.
Bingo.
And man up.
That's exactly where I was going to go. Granted, there are situations where in meetings, coaches will say, whether it's Coach McAdoo, the offensive coordinator, when you're going over things the next day, I could have made a better call on this. Maybe we should have done that. And the coaches will acknowledge that. They'll admit their faults in front of their peers, and that's how you earn respect for coaches. But you talked about the feeling after in the locker room.
Oh, it was awful.
Isn't a single player that should feel good right now with their performance and what they did play in and play out these last 5 weeks. So to sit there and blame it on this, blame it on that, as we continue to say, the eye in the sky does not lie. And if you really want some answers, go back and watch film on yourself and see if you've gotten everything done and you're grading out 100%. And see how those plays that you hurt, how they affected the rest of the other guys. So pointing fingers, you better start with yourself, because there's not a single person right now that can sit here and walk out with their head held high when your team is 0-5.
Oh, now, okay. So that makes sense. So David, let me ask you then, as being a former player, and you was a good player at that, do like the coaching staff, you take the Pat Solari and the coaches, the assistant coaches, how much blame do they get? We talk about missing tackles. We talk about the techniques of the offensive line. Right, a lot of that goes to them, though, because you take, a team like the Patriots, and I hate to bring them up, but, at the end of the day, they are coach good, to the point where they have a seven-round lineman and, they have them playing decent to protect Brady. So is that more of a very internal situation, because the coach's job is to make sure that the player perform at its best level? You take Eric Flowers. For him to get drafted so high, he had to been talented enough to get drafted so high. So right, it's a coach's job to get the best out of him, and ain't it safe to say that the offensive line coach – that he's been working with hasn't been good?
Well, that's part of it. I can't sit here and say the offensive line coach hasn't been good, because I'm not sitting in those meeting rooms. I'm not sitting there breaking down film And even though I know Coach Solari, I've never been in those meetings one-on-one to sit here and say what he's telling him, what he's critiquing to him. But in regards to what you're saying is coaches grade out themselves, and the head coach grades out each position as well. So it's not like the coaches are just giving out grades to the players based upon how they played and not evaluating themselves on what they did positively or negatively, because right away, you know, the coaches have a staff meeting and they address all those issues. And a coach will say,
okay,
I need to get these guys up on this. I need to fix this. We did this well. And that's part of being in a coaching staff. So, you know, like I said, for me to sit here and say, you know, Eric Flowers or some of the technique problems are because of Mike Solari's coaching, I can't say that. But you continue to see that what they're doing in the practice field and what they're doing outside and how well they're practicing, it's not translating to those key
right
moments in football games.
And, you know, Travis, thanks very much for the call.
Great call, great questions.
What my question to you is, and I'm sure you've seen this sometimes, why is it sometimes, and I'm sure it's happened with teams that you've been on, you have a great week, like a great week of practice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all good. And you come up to Saturday or Sunday, and it comes up with a stinker.
I know.
It just doesn't transcend.
And it's crazy because I've been part of those weeks that you're like, and you get off of the field and you just lost, and you're like, with that preparation and all we just put in, this is how we came out and played.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish that there was an explanation for it, but I will say this: in times where this team is at now, right now at 0-5. Sometimes, unfortunately, for some players, when they get in situations, instead of saying, screw this, I'm going to step up and do things, sometimes it's like, oh, man, here we go again. And every team's going to have some players like that. They need to rally around one another. They really rally around this coaching staff and what they're doing, because this is all you have. You have those guys in the locker room.
You have your
coaching staff, and that's who's going to battle with you right now. And you guys are all in this together. You guys all have your fingerprint on it. And you need to go out and make sure that you go out and you sell out and play the best you possibly can. Not only just because you are a professional and that is your job. When you sign a contract, you were told and you should do it to the best of your ability. I'm old school. My dad, I'm a handshake, a look a person in the eye and tell you I'm going to do it. And I guarantee I will do it. So, number one, you need to do that. And number two, the last thing that this team needs to do throughout this time is make sure that you understand the organization that you're playing for, the history, the pride of the New York Giants. You're not just playing for that name on the back of your jersey, because right now, no matter what you think, no matter what you say, that NY on the side of your helmet and this organization that you're representing is much bigger than yourself. And what you do and the way that you go out there and finish out this season is not only indicative of yourself and this organization, but I think back to my rookie year with Wellington Mara. Coach Fossil was fired already. We had 4 games left in the season. And I'll never forget Wellington Mara come in and say, it's an honor and a privilege to be a New York Giant. If you don't want to be here, if you're not going to play hard,
if you're not
going to represent this organization the right way, come up to my office right now. Don't waste your time. Don't waste my time. I'll give you your checks, and you can see yourself out the door.
And believe me, when a guy like Mr. Mara could say that.
That's my rookie year. I'm like, this is the NFL? This is
the patriarch of the not just
NFL,
the Giants, of the NFL saying that.
That was one of 2 times in my entire career that I heard him address the team. I was just sitting there like, whoa. I'm a 21-year-old rookie thinking – This is the Duke saying this to people. Like, if this doesn't light a fire under you, I don't know what will.
Wellington Mara wasn't one of those guys who would just like to hear himself.
He
wasn't interested in reading his name in a thing.
He talked in the papers when he felt like he needed to.
Exactly.
And when he talked, everybody stopped everything they were doing and listened to him because you knew it was important and it meant something.
And we're not saying that because he's a former player and I'm here involved with the Giants.
I'm saying anywhere.
You go around the National Football League and speak to opposing players on other teams and other organizations and ask them the reputation of the Giants organization.
Yep.
So to go along with what my partner here, David, is saying, if there, I'm not saying there are, but if there are any people in that locker room who are interested in pointing fingers and you say, you're not playing for yourself now with a number on your back, you're playing for the organization, and to understand the organization that you're playing for.
Yep.
Because you know what? You can go to almost any other organization and it won't measure up to what the Giants are. So you really need to take stock of yourself if there is finger pointing going on. All right, let's go out to Ohio, speak with our buddy Bash. Bash, how you doing today, my friend?
How you doing, Russ? How you doing, dude?
What's up, Bash?
Hey, I have a question for you, dude. I just wanted to get into, you know, this is the copycat league and everybody stands for the first 5 weeks in the league. The defensive line and offensive line looking as far as, and you brought it up earlier in the introduction, Dave, as far as this twist and stuff that the defense is all doing, as far as is there anything that they're beating us with as far as we got some great defensive lines we're going up coming up against as far as Seattle, Denver, and a couple of the ones coming up. How do they like beat this thing, or how do you play this as far as you've been off of the lineman as far as this stunt and twist? How do you play this thing as far as, see, like the Giants can't get it as far as that. So how do they play this, or how do they beat this situation as far as the stunt and twist?
In regards to the second one where it was in the third quarter, I believe, where they got a Bosa and Ingram were on the same side, everybody's blaming Ereck Flowers. That wasn't Ereck Flowers' fault. If you notice, Joey Bosa was head up on Ereck Flowers with Melvin Ingram outside. Bosa was Pugh's guy. Ingram was outside for Flowers' guy. Number one, to combat that, you both say to each other, gel. We used to say bingo, bingo, gel, gel. Like something's coming. So what do? Both the guard and tackle take the same exact kicks and you're set so that you're on the same level. So that if anything does happen, you're on the same level to where you can punch and pass it. Pugh set short. Flowers set deep. Pugh gets nothing on Joey Bosa, who absolutely destroys Ereck Flowers. And then next thing you know, opens the floodgates for Ingram on the inside. So as much as people are hammering Flowers on that one, which he did have sacks and pressures and issues during that game, that one wasn't on him.
Yeah, no, I didn't blame it on any. I'm just saying how.
Oh no, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Believe
me, Bash. I wasn't saying that you were blaming him. I've heard a lot of people ask and talk about it. I just wanted to explain it to you guys.
All right, Bash.
Okay.
All right, buddy. Thank you as always for the call. Let's now head out to Oklahoma and check in with Jay. Jay, you're on with Russ and Dave. How you doing today?
I'm all right. Hey, guys, I appreciate you taking my call. And, okay, this is the first time I've ever called, so you just bear with me for a second.
First time caller, long time listener. I love it.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Are you a native Oklahoman or –
No, I'm actually from Jersey.
Oh,
South Jersey.
Okay, South Jersey. All right. You're a long way removed. Go ahead, my friend. What do you got, Jay?
Okay. Like I said, I'm 12 years military, so just bear with me where I'm going with this for a second.
Thank you for your service. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Whenever we had to go out on a mission, you know, we had to make sure, like, everybody was on the same page, like there was no hard feelings or whatever. My question is, I don't know if anybody's thought about this. From the playoff game last year, we're actually 0-6. Has the defense and the offense gotten together and kind of, aired everything out? Maybe that's why, because, like, when we started out, the offense started out slow, and my thinking is maybe the defense is like, oh, here we go again, you know. Have they hashed that out?
Well, I don't know, you know, if there was a need. Well, I shouldn't say a need. I think everybody's got to be on the same page, and you can address this, David. But, like, Jay, if you've been watching this morning, mm-hmm. Listen, we know what the offense was in the first two games, okay? But I got to tell you, my friend, in the last three games, this Giant team could be 3-2, whether they deserve it or not. Coulda, woulda, shoulda doesn't get it done. But if the defense could have made stops, in each of the last three games, they'd be 3-2.
Because the offense started out so slow, and the defense is thinking, oh, here we go again. You know, it's like I know we don't like to go back to last year, but I'm thinking that playoff game like really affected this team.
Well, I think that if I understand exactly where you're going with this, Jay, but I think you could have used that maybe in the first and second game more in the Dallas and in the Detroit game, about the amount of time that they were out on the field for 20 minutes in the first half. Those two were acceptable. But when you look at Philadelphia, when you look at that Tampa Bay game, when they controlled the clock in the first half, they were converting on third downs, and they weren't on the field that long periods of time at that time, let alone, once again, what are the great defenses in the NFL doing? They're closing out games when they have the lead in the fourth quarter. They did not do that the last 3 weeks. So I understand exactly where you're going from, and believe me, you have a good point in what you're trying to say, but you could have used that for the first 2 weeks. These last three, you can't use that as an excuse, because when the offensive team did on that side of the ball step up and start getting the lead, there's no reason why the defense couldn't come up with a single stop in order to end it.
Okay, and just one quick thing. Going off of that, like, who is the vocal leader? Like, during your time, you had Strahan, Tuck, and then back in the day, you had Harry Carson, make everyone accountable. Who is that? We have a lot of good players, but I don't see, like, that real leader who's going to speak up like Strahan. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
go ahead. Well, I'm sorry. I mean, I'll just speak to from the observer, and he'll speak to it as a, you know, teammate of Stray's. Number one, you don't get a Hall of Famer like Strahan every day. Number two, I mean, Eli is a leader. Eli is not a screamer.
No, he doesn't have to be.
He doesn't have to be. Eli leads by example. There are leaders. I'm just going to talk out loud. Talk out loud. No, I'll talk to myself. You have.
We all do that. Don't worry.
You know, certainly guys like to me from on defense. Snacks is a leader.
Yep.
OV is a leader.
OV does by example.
But by example, not a holler
JP's
guy.
JP's more of a vocal guy. Casillas is more of a vocal guy.
Casillas is probably one of the more vocal guys. But you know what, Jay? And you probably notice, like, and believe me, what you guys do, you talk about being in the military 12 years. I mean, it's a lot easier to lead when things are going well. You're really tested about being a leader when things aren't going well.
And that's what I was just going to say. That is where right now, from this point forward, we'll see who the true leaders of this football team will be. Who's going to step up? Who is going to make sure everybody's accountable? Who is going to be the one making sure that everybody goes out and fights? Like we said, adversity shows the character of a true man. We're going to see moving forward, who are the people that are going to be a part of the solution? Or are you a part of the problem? And believe me, when you're in this situation, you know that there are going to be changes by the staff and by the players that are on this field next season. So we'll see who those players are going to be.
Jay, thanks very much for the call, my friend. You there? Okay, I guess Jay's off. Thank you very much, Jay. Call again. Let's now go to Brooklyn and check in with our girlfriend, Lisa. Lisa, how you doing today?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you,
Lisa? How
are
you, Lisa?
Oh, I'm a little sad. We did try to stomp. It didn't work.
Oh, perfect.
I had the kitty stomping, but we're not going to stop.
Okay.
That's right.
But I have 2 points to make. For my first point is to all the people, and I've heard a lot of stories that Eli should just sit down for the rest of the season. Anyone who knows Eli Manning, he's not going to sit down. I don't know what kind of player they think, but Eli, I don't see him sitting down for the rest of the season.
No,
he's not good enough.
That was never in the cards.
Nope.
No. But I have to agree with Russ, and I wanted to ask your guys' opinion on the defense. Because I feel a lot of these games are on the defense, because we could have been 3-2. If you look at the Philadelphia game, the Tampa Bay game, and this game just now, we had the lead, and they just can't hold. Third down, they just can't stop them. That one series, the last play, I think it was 3rd and 18.
Yep. 3rd and 15.
Crazy. And the defense just seems to be falling off their play. Eli Apple, even Collins, who was great last year. I see a little bit of a drop-off on the defense. Do you guys have? Do you understand what like what's going on? Like, what's going? Is it just? I know Hankins is not there, but it seems to be in the back. Eli Apple. It's something's dropping or something's not right with the defense.
One thing that people aren't really talking about are how many interceptions do they have on the defense right now?
None.
This team thrived on takeaways last season. They only have one interception, and they've given up 10 touchdowns.
Thompson with the interception. Actually, he had a good game this week.
But that's what I mean. It all coincides with each other. And in a defense that plays fast, confident, that's able to attack the quarterback, that's when you create those takeaways that they thrived on and went from worst to first last season. They haven't had those big plays, and when they have, the offense haven't capitalized on them. You think about the Detroit game. They gave them the opportunity. They had an opportunity to do it. They didn't get it. They had a big sack. They ended up punting the ball away, and that's been the case this season.
You know, Lisa, as I sat in the press box watching the game Sunday, and especially after Odell went down, you know Murphy's Law, what can go wrong will go wrong. I said to myself, what can go wrong has gone wrong. It just was a picture of the entire season all wrapped up in one. I mean, it's I've never seen anything like this. It really is incredible to me. But, you know, as David and I were saying before, now it's up to each man to look in the mirror. Everybody. The entire organization is going to get tested now. It's easy to win. Now let's see what happens when you're dealing with this kind of adversity at 0-5. As always, Lisa, thanks for the call,
Lisa.
I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Okay. Let's go to Connecticut, check in with David. David, how you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How about you guys?
Good. What's up, Dave?
Hey, obviously, you know, season's not going as expected. Is what it is. I'm hoping the silver lining is, now that Travis Rudolph is in, I think he has a great story. I think he's a fan favorite. I'm hoping he has a breakout like a Victor Cruz. And just want to know, what is the status with all of the receivers? Everybody pretty much got hurt. Is Sterling out too? Like, is it basically going to be who's going to be our number one, number two wide receiver?
Well, as of right now, we know that OBJ and Brandon are out for the year. Have they confirmed? Have they said Sterling? Any of that stuff?
Sterling, we haven't heard.
Yeah,
we know that Brandon, Odell and Dwayne Harris
all
three,
out
not just
year.
Out, surgeries.
Yeah.
So they're done. We haven't gotten the word on Sterling yet, but I got a feeling if it's not surgery, I got a feeling we're not seeing him back in a hurry.
Yeah.
We're not going to see him back in a hurry. So in terms of what's left, you got Travis Rudolph. They re-signed Tavares King.
Roger Lewis.
I mean, this is what you got, Dave.
And I'm assuming that Travis Rudolph is going to do a maybe punt or kick return as well, since I know he did that during spring training. Is that right?
He did. He did some of that stuff. But once again, then you're dealing with an issue that you're trying to use two stones on one bird. You can't do that because at the position that is at need, wide receiver, you can't take the risk and have one of those receivers returning it. So,
and this is a rookie bird coming off the practice squad.
Yeah. So you can't I don't think that they would ask him to do that. I think if he comes up, it's going to be as a receiver just for the sheer fact of the injuries and what you're dealt with right now as a team.
Well, I'm hoping for the best for many of those guys to step up. And I just I saw on Twitter, I don't know if it's been mentioned yet, but ever since the Miami boat picture,
we've seen it, 0-6. We've seen all the pictures and videos. Yeah,
all
it's
right,
out there.
Okay, David, thank you very much for the call, buddy. Appreciate it. Yes, 0-5. And I'll tell you what, boy, with the team that's decimated on offense, they sure picked a heck of a 2 weeks to be going up against the Denver Broncos
and the Seattle Seahawks.
And
actually, at Denver after their bye.
Yes.
It's a lot of time for those boys to rest.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Jan in Florida. Jan, how you doing today?
Good. Hey, Dale, I just wanted to ask you a question. Why is everybody picking on the New York Giants and how they're playing and all just because they're 0-5? I mean, they should give the Giants a chance, you know? And I think they're pretty good players, and I'm sure it'll come through. You know what I mean? And they want to fire McAdoo. McAdoo didn't do nothing. He's doing his job, as far as I'm concerned. The true Giant fans need to stick together, and the ones that are fake need to lay off. That's the way I feel, you know?
Well, I think I agree with you, Jan, and it's still a long season, and there's still a lot of football left to be played. And I know that you heard me talking about not only playing yourself, but playing for this great organization. But what you're saying is in regards to the fan treatment, I mean, think about the expectations everybody had coming into this year after going 11-5, adding new pieces, and what people thought that this team was going to be. So, you know, I think that's why there is this big outrage and this big commotion and upsetness by the fans, which right now is rightfully so because of how much expectations they had on this season.
Jan, thank you very much for the call. You know, listen, we've said this several times before, and you've heard a lot of people say it. New York is a wonderful – nothing is better when it comes to winning in New York, but it can be downright miserable, awful when you lose. And you know what an example of that was? And it bothered me. What was it, Sunday night at the Yankee game?
Oh, and they booed Girardi?
Let me tell you something. And there's a Chicago guy.
He knew he was going to get
booed. He knows it comes with the territory. Yeah. He's a big boy. He had his big boy pants on. And he's, you know, and he handled it very well. But listen, to me, you boo, as a fan, I never booed my team for performance. Lack of effort, yes. If somebody is not giving you maximum effort, yes. I think Joe Girardi made a mistake in game two, and he fessed up to it. You're booing a guy. I mean, I just thought that was terrible. And I think that's the ugly side of fandom, as far as I'm concerned.
But
it comes with the territory.
But that's what you love about Yankees and Giants fans, that this is in their DNA. This is in their blood. They've lived this. They love and have passion for your team. So regardless, the ups and downs, adversity, there's no place that I would have rather been or played for because of you feel the energy and that passion, and you feed off of it. And yeah, you're going to get boos, and that's fine. But at some times, everybody gets booed. It doesn't matter who you are.
But I covered you playing. And you know what? I can say this not because you're sitting here.
This show's going to be over soon. I'll wait for you outside if you say something.
to me, you were one of those guys who never – you might have been a little ornery after in a hard week or what, but you were one of those guys who really didn't change with a win or a loss. You were the same guy.
Yeah.
Everybody handles things differently.
Humble in victory, modest in defeat.
You know, I mean, but everybody, not everybody
You win, lose, or draw, you show up to your locker as a man, and I always
That's what
did.
Being, that's 100%, and it's not because you're sitting here. That's what the deal was with David Deal right here, number 66. Sean in California. Sean, how you doing today?
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning.
What's up, Sean?
Hey, so I'm going to put on a few things. I'll try to make it fast and try to get your guys' opinions on it. I mean, like, I'm like every other fan. I have to agree 100% with the last caller. I mean, like, I think I'm going to get to my point. My point is, you know, we're starting off decent. We're not starting off super strong on defense. We're starting off decent. And then we're holding teams. And then we're finishing so weak. It's like we're playing high school football. It's pretty embarrassing. Like, you know, and that's not to go on any specific player. That's to go on the whole defense. It's like we assume that we had this $230 million defense. Assume that there was going to be the same defense that there was last year, which is the case. It's not. You know what I'm saying? It's not. It's just not. And it's sad to say. And I still want to believe, but I was joking with my friends. I'm like, hey, bro, we went from OBJ, Sterling Shepard, and Brandon Marshall to Travis King, Travis Rudolph, and Roger Lewis in 1 week. And we went from basically on paper the best receiving corps to on paper the no one heard of our receivers, which brings me to my next point. I think that kind of gives us an advantage in Denver because it's Denver, it's on the road, it's on one of the best defenses that we're going to go play against, not this year, but just in the NFL in general, the top defense. And, you know, Travis Rudolph, like I said, I have that football magazine. He just needed polish. That's all he needed was polish. And I think that 5 weeks on the practice squad gave him that polish he needed. And I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. I'm not saying he's going to be the next OBJ for us. All I'm saying is he's going to put up numbers, and I'm so confident I'm drafting him on DraftKings this weekend. Just like a big dog, just like a big Goldman. Oh, I'm drafting Travis Rudolph. I'm sorry to bring up DraftKings. I don't know if you guys wanted to talk about that in this show, but, you know, I'm confident, you know. I say, you know, were we expecting to win out? Were we expecting to win out? After we got that, if we get that win at the Chargers, were we expecting to win out? You know what I'm saying? So,
I
think we have to expect to win out. Like, if we even have a chance, I don't want to give up hope. I mean, like, if we go 0-7, okay, let's play for draft picks. But I'm not going to give up hope. I'm just going to keep on believing. And see where it goes.
Well, Sean.
All righty, guys.
Thank you, Sean. The one thing I would agree with you, and I'll ask the expert here on this, maybe in light of what the hell has gone on,
yeah,
they're better off, even though it is up against Denver, Denver.
And maybe it's better off being on the road. The offense in Detroit may be better without Calvin Johnson. Of course you're going to say that. To say that it's an advantage going up against a no-fly zone without OBJ or Brandon Marshall, Dwayne Harris. I love the positivity, and I love your thought process, Sean, because you're right. There is a lot of football left to be played. And in regards to football players and what we're talking about here in regards to Rudolph, opportunities are never lost. Someone will take the one that you miss. He has an unbelievable opportunity to show that he deserves to be on an active roster for the Giants and not on the practice squad like he was, and to prove what type of player that he is. So you're right. There are going to be players like him and other players amongst the board that are going to get opportunities in this football game that may change the dynamic of their NFL careers forever if they capitalize on them.
I did like, to his credit, Roger. I mean, here's Roger Lewis in the locker room after the game.
He's a fighter.
I mean, there is nobody. I mean, OBJ's locker's empty. Brandon's locker's empty. Sterling's locker.
And he's taking the heat.
And he's standing there. And, you know, here's a young guy. And they asked him, you know, well, what are you guys going to do now? And, you know, with practice squad and this and that. And you're it. And to his credit, this wasn't some, you know, grizzled seasoned veteran. Next man up.
Yeah.
That's the attitude that you have to take.
No question.
And I was impressed with that.
Yeah.
You know, that's the attitude. Listen, it's got to begin with attitude. Yeah. I mean, now attitude is not, if you don't have talent, attitude is not going to do you any good. But you got to have an attitude, and that was the right attitude to take. Wow. We got Dan in Hawaii calling us. Danny, how you doing today?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
How you doing,
man?
We're
not doing as good as you in Hawaii, Dan, that's for sure.
Well, hey, it's beautiful out here, I'll tell you that.
Well, Danny, we got 3 minutes, so we want to give you a chance, but we don't have the full 3 minutes with you. So what do you got for us, buddy?
What do you got, Danny?
Well, a couple things. One, I think I love the fact the Giants hang with their coaches and aren't quick to pull the plug. So I think McAdoo, maybe he'll have a better year next year, but wow, it's been rough.
Oh, yes, it has.
He picks up a new kicker, doesn't give him a chance. I don't understand it. And he doesn't, for whatever reason, he doesn't seem to play to the strengths of the players he's got.
Such
Eli
as?
He needs time. He's not a quarterback. Like, you know, you watched the two guys last night. They can buy themselves time. Eli's not that guy. You know, you gotta look at what you got and play to your strengths, and I don't see that.
Well, what's the strength that you want him to play to, Danny? I don't want to rush you off, but we're running out of time.
Okay, well, I, you know,
Dan, just get it out. We hear you. Just tell us, man. We know that you're trying.
We gotta tighten up here, Danny. We gotta get ready to go.
Okay. All right. Well, I would play with a little heavier package, emphasize the tight ends more.
Concur 100%.
Utilize, maybe roll them out of the pocket some. Do things that don't put him back there as a target. That's number one.
Well, and Danny, thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call, Danny.
Listen, for somebody calling from Hawaii, we don't want to cut you off.
Yeah,
so
we don't.
Please
we
call
don't
call us
time,
next time
again.
As well. Thank you very much.
But no, I agree with you, and that's something that right away I just shook my head after looking at the game in Philadelphia. I'm like, you're playing an NFC East team, and you're playing the Eagles, which you know is going to be a fist fight, and you don't use Shane Smith in an offensive snap. They're going to have to change that, and that's part of the things and part of the problems that will be part of the solution moving forward is they've got to use Shane Smith more. They've got to use Rhett Ellison more, whether they've got to bring in another tackle and go max protection or go two tight ends with a jumbo to run the football. They've got to make adjustments to make sure that they get the run game going so that you can run the bootlegs and nakeds off of play action to make them effective. Because if you don't get the run game going, not a linebacker or a safety is going to try to run downhill on a run fake. They're going to sit in their spot and they're going to wait because they don't respect the run at that time.
Well, at 0-5, a lot of adjustments, as we know, Dave, are going to be made. But having said that, adjustments, schmutchments, the bottom line is they didn't make stops when they needed to make a stop. And it was basic stuff on a defense, as David has said several times, not just this week, last week, tackling.
Yep.
Basic fundamentals of tackling, like a punt, pass, and kick.
Yep.
It's tackling. It's the most simplest thing,
As long as
I've
been around football, when you swarm and run to the football, good things happen.
And bad things happen for the lack of it the past 3 weeks, and that's why you sit at 0-5. I am Russ Salzberg. He is David Deal. Thank you so much for being part of Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com. We will see you next time.
Have a great one.
Yeah.